KEQX 89.7 Stephenville, Comanche, and Bluffdale.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me Brother David Harris, and it's certainly good to have David back. Richard Massey filled in for him last week, and Richard, if you're listening, we certainly want to say how much we appreciate you and the excellent job that you did.
That's right.
Yeah, he did a good job. He's sharp. Friends, we're continuing what we've been talking about over the last really several weeks, if not a couple of months. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit worked in the New Testament, and how the Holy Spirit is actually working today. And in doing that, we talked about, first of all, that there are a lot of misconceptions out there about the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit worked with the apostles. We talked about how some had blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that entailed. And then, of course, last week we talked about how that the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles, and the apostles could pass that gift on through the laying on of their hands. And David, according to the Bible, that's the only way that that happened.
Amen. Yes.
You know, these guys that are out there saying that they're doing this, passing on the Holy Spirit and so forth, friends, that's not what the Bible says, and that's not right. It's absolutely not right. If you want to join us this evening in our discussion, we're actually going to be talking about sanctification, how the Holy Spirit works in a Christian's sanctification. And we'll talk about what sanctification is in just a moment. But friends, we want to invite you to call, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And I want to ask you to open in your Bible right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In a few moments, David is going to read for us verses 9 through 11 and make some comments about that. Before he actually does that, friends, we want to talk about what we're talking about when we say sanctification. Because, You know, David, that's about a $3 word, and my vocabulary gets about a buck is about it.
That's it. Mine too.
So we're talking about sanctification. Friends, there's a lot of confusion about sanctification. And David, as you look at it in the Bible, this word simply means to be holy. It means to be set apart. It means to be separated, and it means to be holy. And so, friends, a Christian is set apart by God, separated from his sins, and made pure or holy in the eyes of God. And I believe that that'll come out as David reads 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
Right. Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. And here the Holy Spirit, through Paul is the penman, the Holy Spirit is the author of this letter to the church at Corinth. He's going to make a great distinction between those who are lost and those who are saved.
That's it.
And the difference is going to be in the sanctification of the individual. And if you will, read with me. Verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." But now here's the good news. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so this sanctification comes in place here. The sanctification is the setting apart by God because of an obedient act. Being washed, being sanctified, being justified, that makes us holy. And when we look at that word holy, Carrie, it's nothing more than being pure.
That's right.
And when something is pure, it is unmixed. And this is the great separator, the set apart that he's using here, is the fact that this is pure, it is holy, it is unmixed from the rest of the world and all of the sin that is in the world. And this is how we have this sanctification.
You know, David, and we look at that, and we might think that it's a difficult thing to understand, but friends, you understand it when it comes to planting seed in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
You understand it when it comes to living life, when it comes to, you know, I'm a married man, and so I'm pure with no one. You know, I mean, with the only person that I've ever been with, my wife, you know. And so you're pure. You don't go out and you don't chase around and do other things that are not acceptable in the eyes of God. And so, friends, we're talking about remaining pure, free from sin. And I know that it's a difficult thing for us to do sometimes, but friends, that's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Now, we mentioned this a moment ago, but the word, the root word that we get our word sanctify, it means to be separate, it means to be apart, it means to be holy. And friends, the Bible tells us that God is holy. The Bible tells us that the Word is holy. The Bible tells us that the Spirit Himself is holy. And so, friends, the Godhead has always been holy. And so, friends, each one of these has stood at a distance from sin. They have maintained a definite disassociation with sin. They are not in any way personally involved in sin. And you may remember, and if you don't have your Old Testament, flip over, or if you do have your Old Testament, flip over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse number 3. Isaiah saw a vision of God's glory, and he, when he saw it, declared, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And then in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8, John declared, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now, friends, the Bible tells us that God is holy. And the Bible tells us that if we are going to be His children, we must be holy as well.
Absolutely.
And friends, if you have your Bible, you might just turn with me to the book of 1 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter, and we're going to notice what Peter tells us about being holy. And we find this, of course, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we begin our reading in verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. Listen to what Peter writes. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." David, listen to this. "As obedient children." Now, David, that is in contradistinction to disobedient children.
Right, right.
And he's telling us, and that's purity, to mm-hmm. be obedient to God. He says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." Now watch this, friends, "in all manner of conversation," or our lifestyle. Now verse 16, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." David, is it not clear that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are holy, and they expect us to be holy as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And this word again, the sanctification, which is something that we must have. The definition of it is not only holy, but it is also set apart. And
that's
in
right.
that very same letter that you just read, in the very next chapter, of course, this is a continuous letter. It's not mm-hmm. it wasn't originally split up in
that's
verses
right.
and chapters, but in the very next chapter, it makes it easy for us to find. He tells us about how we are set apart as God's children. There are the children of the world, and then there are God's children. In verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And that is a people for God's own possession, sanctified and set apart.
Amen.
And we are sanctified for a purpose. And he tells us what our purpose is, to show forth the praises of him that has called you out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. Again, we see the sanctification process in work.
That's right, that's
being
right.
called out, because Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about the children of the world, they are the children of darkness.
That's right.
And so we have this sanctification process all the way through, and this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit, because this sanctification can only be through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get into that in just a second.
No, friends, what you find as you study the Word of God is that in our conversion and in our sanctification, that the Holy Spirit is working only through the Word of God.
Amen.
He doesn't work outside the Word of God. Now, friends, what we're not talking about when in providence or something like that. We're talking about when a person is converted, they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and that Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We talked about that in one of our lessons, one of our programs on the air, that God spoke the word, the Holy Spirit revealed that word to men, and these men, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote down exactly what the Holy Spirit instructed them to write. And thus, friends, when you read the Bible, you are reading the words of God the Father, you're reading the words of Jesus Christ, and they're revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So you are being guided in that sense of studying the Bible. You're being guided by the words of the Holy Spirit. You're being guided by the word or by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
You know, David, if your father leaves you a note of instruction and he tells you, now, son, I want you, when you get up this morning, I want you to go out and I want you to mow the yard, and I want you to weed eat around your mama's flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have time, I want you to also pull up the weeds in the garden. Now, when I do that, when I read that letter and do what my father said, I'm being guided by my father, but it's through a medium. It's through a letter. It's through words that he wrote.
Right, right. And this sanctification that we're talking about is a process.
That's right.
It's a process by which God, through the Holy Spirit, the revealer of the word, sanctifies, makes his people holy.
That's it.
He makes them separate. He makes them holy. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, God is always separate and distanced from sin.
That's right.
God will not have sin in front of his face.
That's right.
He's just not going to have it. And so this forms the foundation for this word holy or sanctify. And God is not going to have this before him anywhere. In the New Testament, we have similar words that we have there in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have words that hagiazo and hagios, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but we can all look up what these words mean, and all of these correspond to those new Old Testament words that mean sanctify and holy. And it is to sanctify, it is to set apart and be totally separate from all that is evil and all that is sinful.
Well, friends, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, David, when you were mentioning that about how God was separated from sin in the Old Testament, immediately the verse that jumped to my mind is Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And here God said, behold, or Isaiah writes, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now listen to this, friends. Verse 2, Isaiah 59. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. David, very clearly, God is so holy, so pure, that he cannot associate with sin.
Will not.
Will not.
Just absolutely will not.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say that, you know, friends, what we're talking about, and by the way, if you want to join our discussion, the number to call is area code 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But David, let's talk about the distinction that the Bible makes between saint and sinner.
Right, and there is a tremendous distinction. And this is, you know, some people say, well, and I've even had people ask me, why are y'all staying so long on this Holy Spirit issue? Because it is a big issue in religion.
That's right.
It is the one thing, the misconception about this Holy Spirit and what he does to people. This misconception is the main reason that we have 2,000 different denominational bodies out there
in the
world when God says there only needs to be one.
That's right.
And so, yes, we need to work on this. Yes, we need to understand what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. And in particular, tonight, we're going to look at the sanctification of the child of God, because there is a distinction between that which is a sinner and that which is a saint. I believe we have a call on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please?
Yeah, this is Barry.
Yes, Barry.
John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yes, sir.
We have so many people today that are so busy justifying what they do with their own opinions instead of going back and seeing what God says, and then they talk to other people that agree with them, and they walked away from God so far that what you're talking about there over in Isaiah is the same thing here. God tells you how to be sanctified through his word, through his truth. Yet we have so many people today that says, you know what, I want to pick and choose what I want to sanctify me. And we can't do that. We take all of the word of God, or taking part of it, the same as taking none. I'll hang up and listen to your call.
Well, thank you, Barry. And truly, when you look at this, and you've jumped about two squares ahead of us here, but we're headed in that direction. We appreciate your call. This sanctification is through a medium.
That's
the
right.
Holy Spirit, and this is part of the Holy Spirit work, the sanctification of the child of God, but he does it through a medium, and John chapter 17, verse 17 tells us clearly what that medium is. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is the truth. And it is that truth, the word of God, that sanctifies the individual to be set apart and holy for God's own purpose.
That's right. Well, friends, let's think about this saint and sinner. And I know that we're about 2 minutes away from a break, so what we're going to be able to do is really just get into this. But friends, David mentioned it earlier. You hear people in the world today, and they say, well, there's no difference between us and the sinners that are out there in the world. And David, that is not even a third cousin to what the Bible says about the difference between a saint and a sinner.
No, not at all.
Friends, if you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we want to begin our reading in verse number 2. The Bible says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, that's Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. David, let's just go through these verses and look at this. He says, Jesus is going to appear.
Mm-hmm.
And when he appears, those who are sons of God, and of course that word includes men and women, so those who are sons of God, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we know that when Jesus comes back, we're going to be just like him. So now in this life, he says, if you have that hope in you, you purify yourself, you sanctify yourself, you get rid of the sin in your life, you separate yourself from sin, even as he is pure.
And that word again is the same as holy.
That's exactly right.
Just like we read just a moment
ago. Yeah. This word purify, this word pure, as David is saying, this is the same word in the Greek as holy. So in other words, you, David, can you holify yourself?
Well, I suppose you could.
You can make yourself holy. And that's what he's saying here. You purify yourself. You make yourself holy just as Jesus Christ is holy. Well, friends, We're going to drive a peg down there in verse number 3, and we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, and we're going to talk about the difference between sinners and saints. The number to call if you want to join the discussion, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Kerry Clark today, and we are talking about the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. This is just another one of the parts of the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. And we've talked about it. We have given definition of it. And sanctification is the process by which God, through the Holy Spirit, makes people holy. But He doesn't do it through a direct operation. We've already considered the fact that He does it through a medium. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." And so the word is going to sanctify the child of God. Now, when we took our break just a moment ago, we were considering the difference between the saint and the sinner. And it has been my experience, Kerry, as you talk to some people, that they will use a terminology and say, "Well, we're all a bunch of sinners."
Yeah.
And that's not the case. You cannot be a saint and a sinner at the same time, and we need to get a hold of that idea.
That's right.
I was watching some television program the other night, and it was one of those detective programs that they were trying to solve some big mystery somewhere, and they were showing this fella preaching at some denominational body somewhere over there in Alabama. And he welcomed the congregation by saying, well, hello, saints, hello, sinners. And you either one or the other, but you can't be both because that saint is sanctified.
That's right. That's like saying I'm a married, unmarried man.
That's it. That's it. And that won't work in any place.
No.
And so when we look at this, and you were reading just a moment ago from 1 John chapter 3, we got through the first couple of verses there, but we have it explained so perfectly and so well with the Word of God that it's hard for us to even go in there and
say,
you know, this is what it means. Let's just let God tell what it means. You started reading that just a moment ago. Why don't you just go ahead and finish there and pick up where you started or left off?
Okay, 1 John chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 4, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. He just talked about that if we are sons of God, that we're going to purify ourselves just as Jesus Christ is pure. And in verse number 4, he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, that's Jesus, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. David, it's clear that Jesus came to take away our sins. That's why he came.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't understand, friends, why we want to continue to live in sin. If Jesus came and died to take away our sin, why do we continue to sin?
I think there's a lot of confusion. A lot of misinformation, and I think there's an awful lot of ignorance as to why Jesus came and the purpose of Jesus and the purpose of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Friends, if you want to join the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Let's continue in 1 John chapter 3. Now we'll read verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, that's in Jesus Christ, abideth in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now listen to verse 10, friends. 1 John 3:10. David and I have been talking about the difference between saints and sinners, and that's what John just described. Now listen to verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, or are made known, and the children of the devil. David, John tells us, if you want to know if you're a child of God, look at your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know if you're a child of the devil, look at your life.
Right.
And John made it very clear, friends, when he said, the one who continues to abide in sin is of the devil.
Right. And the one who allows the seed to remain in him is of Christ, and he is sanctified and washed and justified.
And you know, David, the Bible tells us, Jesus himself tells us in Luke chapter 8, verse number 11, the seed is the Word of God.
The seed is the Word of God. And so, if we don't expose ourselves to this Holy Spirit revealed Word of God, the truth.
That's right.
Then how is it that we can ever be sanctified, Gary?
You can't be ignorant of what God wants you to do and turn around and accidentally do what God wants you to do.
There is absolutely no way. I never heard of anybody. Well, I take that back. You don't. When a marriage takes place, people do not ignorantly do it.
No.
You know, you make, like I said, that's the reason I take that back. But
yeah, I know what you're saying.
What you're saying in a marriage, you have a husband to be who is loving a wife to be, and you have a wife to be who is loving the husband to be, and they are going to commit themselves to one another for the rest of their life. They are not going to do that ignorantly. They're not going to stumble in there and just say, "Oh, accidentally, I got married here."
Yeah,
you know, this is something that is for life. And the marriage between the Christian and Jesus Christ is the bride and the church.
That's right.
And the bridegroom and the church. And so what we have is the very same scenario as it is given to us in Ephesians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he compares the church and the sanctified individual that is a member of the body of the saved, that sanctified person, that individual is the bride of the bridegroom, Jesus the Christ, and he or she will be holy.
That's exactly right. Now, David, let's stop and think about saints for just a moment. You know, I thought in order for somebody to be a saint, that you had to be dead for a certain number of years, and that you had to be able to prove that you had worked 3 miracles, and then only after you've been dead a certain number of years, and it's been proven that you worked a certain number of miracles, then you're classified as a saint. Is that what the Bible says?
That is not what the Bible says. That is what the Roman Catholic Church says,
okay.
But that is not what the Bible says. And by the way, it seems to me that when the Roman Catholic Church comes out with some kind of a doctrine or some kind of a catechism or whatever it happens to be that they come out with, that the press,
yes,
the media just picks up on this, and all of a sudden they are instant knowledgeable individuals about the Bible based upon what the Roman Catholic Church
yes.
has to say.
Isn't that amazing?
The Bible, by the way, folks, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to listen to the letter that was written by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints in Christ." Do you get that? To all of the saints, this is who it is addressed to all of the saints that are in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons.
That's right.
And you see a very similar thing written to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so those individuals who have been washed, who have been sanctified, who have been justified through an obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, they are saints in Christ Jesus with all of the privileges thereof.
And you know, David, Paul writes that very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. He says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Now, David, there's something interesting when you look at it in the King James Version. It says, "To them which are sanctified in Christ, called to be." Those words "to be" are italicized, indicating there's no corresponding word in the Greek. And so literally, we would read this, "Unto them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints."
Called saints.
Called
absolutely.
Saints. Exactly.
And there you have the, and I'm so glad you brought that up. And we need to clarify things, because throughout the years, the Bible and the Word of God gets distorted to the point when the media repeats it, and when so many people hear say, you know, well, Saint so and so, he was
yeah.
sanctified over there at the Vatican. Well, no, he wasn't.
No,
they don't
have the right.
No, they do not have the right. The Holy Spirit through the Word of God sanctifies whoever. And we just had an email come in, and this is a great email, and the question is asked on this email. I do have this correct in saying that this only applies to Christians and not those outside of the body of Christ. And you are absolutely right. This comes from one of our listeners over on the other side of the Jordan, over on the other side of I-35. And I say that with a smile on my face, over in East Texas. And this is absolutely right. As a matter of fact, let me back up here, Carrie. I want to address this very thing because this applies only to Christians and to Christians only. And notice here, Paul is addressing this letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, the members of the church of Ephesus are saints.
That's right.
They have been sanctified. They have been justified. They have been washed. They have been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation.
And a sinner has not.
A sinner has not.
That's right.
A sinner has not. And so he addresses this. I just want to read the first three verses of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, not the sinners, which are at Ephesus, that is the location, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and thus would be the saints,
that's right,
who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing belongs to the saint. It belongs to the sanctified. It belongs to that holy one, the Christian, who is no longer a sinner.
David, that raises an interesting point, because there's a lot of people in the world that want to teach that in order for you to become a Christian, all you've got to do is say the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 that all spiritual blessings belong to saints or Christians.
Right.
Isn't prayer a spiritual blessing?
Absolutely.
So then the blind man had it right in John chapter 9 in verse number 31 when he said that we know that God does not hear sinners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And here, notice it says all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
In the letter that was written in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26 and 27, it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't want to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus? Verse 27 tells us, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So now we see what it takes to get into
That's
Christ
right.
Jesus. It's not a prayer.
No.
It is not a prayer. If that were the case, Saul of Tarsus could have been in Christ Jesus because he prayed for 2 days waiting on him to show up. And when the gospel preacher got there, he told him, you're lacking something.
That's
Arise
right.
and be baptized and wash away your sins. And we have that word wash again.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
there.
And isn't it interesting, folks, that as you start going through these verses, that there are words that come up all the time and they're in the verse together, like, you're sanctified when you're washed.
Mm-hmm.
You've been washed, therefore you've been sanctified. Now, friends, wash, as David just clearly said, is talking about the waters of baptism.
Right.
And in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias told then Saul of Tarsus, he says, now Saul, arise and be baptized, and as they say over in East Texas, wash away thy sins.
With the R.
Yeah. Wash away your sins. Get up. He said, quit praying, Paul. You've been praying for 3 days and three nights. It's time to get up, and let's go down to the river, and let's baptize you, and you'll have your sins washed away. And when your sins are washed away, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, you've been sanctified and justified.
Right. And this is what constitutes holiness.
That's right.
When you are free from sin, it constitutes holiness. Now, we've been talking about holy, and we've been talking about pure, and what constitutes holy and what constitutes pure, and it is unmixed. And the individual that has been washed in the waters of baptism for the remission of his sins by the authority of Jesus Christ, he is no longer mixed with the world.
That's right. He's pure.
He is pure. Pure as the driven snow, pure as a brand new baby. That's the reason Jesus called it born again.
That's exactly right. Now, friends, if you want to join us in this discussion, and Barry, we appreciate the call that you made earlier, and when we come back off the break, we're actually going to begin to look at some of these verses that deal with this process of sanctification. And so we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to look at these passages on sanctification. And so I want to give you the number to call. It's 254-445 4475-2473. That's 445-2473. Or you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me, obviously, Brother David Harris, and he's over here causing all kinds of problems. But we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at, as we said before the break, some passages in the Bible that deal with sanctification. Now, sanctification, friends, simply means to be pure, to be holy. It means that we are separate, we are apart. And so, friends, as we obey the gospel plan of salvation that separates us from sin, that makes us, or God sets us apart so that we are now holy and pure in His eyes. And, friends, there are several passages that deal with that. And if you want to join the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, if you have your New Testament, open in your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And friends, I want you to listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 10 in verse number 36. And it's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. say ye of him, that's the talking to the Pharisees at this time who were attacking him, or the Jews that were trying to stone him. And he said, you said of him whom the Father, watch this, friends, whom the Father has sanctified. David, God the Father sanctified Jesus Christ the Son.
Right.
And then he says, and sent him into the world, and he says, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Friends, Jesus was holy and set apart to do the work that God wanted him to do.
Right. And you know, just a moment ago, we had Barry call in. This is another one of those good passages to teach us all about the sanctification through the Holy Spirit. And when we're talking about that Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Word of God that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. That is the prayer from Jesus Christ to the Father. Now, Jesus knew how the Spirit sanctified, and that is the reason that he prayed to God in prayer that the Word through the Holy Spirit would make them holy, those apostles holy who he was praying for.
That's right. And David, you notice, did you read verse 19 or just 17?
Just 17. I did not read verse 19.
Friends, look at what Jesus said in John 17 and verse number 19. He's talking about Christians, and I believe Eileen sent us a note a moment ago talking about, well, who is this talking about? Is it talking about Christians, or is it talking about everybody? And we've already answered that it's dealing with Christians, but notice what Jesus said in John 17 and verse 19, and for their sakes, he's talking about Christians, for their sakes, Jesus said, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. David, we mentioned this earlier, but there's so many times you see this repetition of sanctified, mm-hmm. word of truth. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Verse 19, they're sanctified through the truth. Over and over again, friends, the Bible declares to us that when we are holy and set apart and pure, that comes through the Word of God, through the Word of God.
Right. And you know, there are a lot of people in the world, Kerry, that, this came up today on some radio talk show early in the morning about this Jewish fella, and then there was another fella that was a Muslim. Now, they may be as good as good can be, but they're not Christians.
That's right.
And I don't care how you spin it. I don't care how you say it. I don't care how the media puts it out there. If you're not a Christian, you're lost.
That's right.
You can call yourself a Jew. You can call yourself a Muslim. You can call yourself whatever it is you want to be called. But if you are not a Christian, you can't go to heaven. Now, we need to get that in our head. The only people that are sanctified here through this truth are Christians.
That's right.
End of story.
That's
right
it.
There.
That's it.
And we need to understand that. We need to be very well aware of it. And in Acts chapter 20, we've already covered 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think we've covered that well enough. But I want you to look at Acts chapter 20, if you've got your Bibles handy, in verse number 32. And I want you to notice what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says unto the elders there at Ephesus. In verse 32, he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
There it is again.
Who's going to heaven? All them that are sanctified. Who's going to have the inheritance? The Christians.
That's right.
And so, you know, over and over and over and over and over and over, we have said, it's not our opinion here.
That's right.
All we're doing is, you've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say about your inheritance. This is extremely important. This is one of the one things that you can do in your life to change your life and to make your life eternally better forever and ever and ever.
David, not only that, but you stop and think about it. It doesn't do us any good, friends, and we don't want to be misunderstood in that. Just simply hearing the word is not what it's about.
You've got to do the word. And in James chapter 1 and verse number 22, James writes, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So friends, what we're talking about is the person that will turn to the word of God, open up that word of God, study from that word of God, and then do that word of God. And that's the person who is going to be sanctified by God.
Now, Kerry, we could go, we could just pull scripture after scripture after scripture out. I would recommend, and for time's sake, we've only got 10 minutes left here. For time's sake, I would like to encourage everyone to after the program's over, go to Ephesians chapter 5, read verses 26 and 27, and notice how Jesus Christ desires for His church to be sanctified, to
That's
be
right.
pure, and to be cleansed. But with the time that we have remaining here, I want us to focus, Kerry, if you will, on the how
That's right.
of the Spirit sanctification. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it and we've alluded to it all through this program. It is not by direct operation of the Holy Spirit. It is not through some man laying his hands on you today. We've covered this in other portions of this. This is one of the reasons we had to break this thing down and teach so many different lessons through here. Because of the confusion that exists with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies, but He does it through the medium of an agent. The agent is the Word of God. It has been once for all time delivered unto the saints. It is the faith that is given to us. It is the truth that is given to us. And in the very same fashion, the Holy Spirit converts a sinner to Christ by an agent. It is a medium. It is the Word of God. And so does He sanctify that saint. He sets that saint apart, and that saint is no longer a sinner.
That's right.
And we've made that distinction through this. But both the conversion of a Christian and the sanctification of a saint are worked out through an agent, a medium, the glorious gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
You know, David, I look at it like this. If I said to you that I went out into the woods and chopped down a tree, would anybody think that I went out there with my bare hands and my skill as someone in karate and just chopped down that tree, or would they not understand that when I went out in the woods and I said I chopped down a tree, that they would understand I took an axe with me and I chopped down that tree?
Right. And the medium by which you chopped down that tree was
an axe.
Yes.
So I chopped down the tree, but I didn't touch the tree. The axe touched the tree,
right.
Not me.
Right.
And so, friends, when the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, He does it just like a man chopping down a tree. The Holy Spirit does not actually touch us. It is the Word of God. That's what touches us. That's what sets us apart. That's what God says strengthens and builds us up.
Right. And as we read just a moment ago in 1 John chapter 3, it is that Word that abides in us. And when that seed remains, when that seed remains in our heart, and that
yes.
is our spiritual heart, that's not our heart-pumping heart, but our spiritual heart, which is our mind, when that seed remains there, then we're not going to sin. We're not going to be a part of the sinful world. We're going to be that sanctified individual because the seed is going to lead us into doing whatever we do. Now, what we get into, and a lot of times is people get to thinking that whatever we put into our head won't affect us.
Huh.
But the movies that you listen to and watch and the comedians that you might listen to on television, they will affect you. And whatever you put in your head is just exactly what you're going to get out of it. You can't get out something that you didn't put in there.
And you know, David, do you think that's why Solomon said that we're to give diligence to protect our heart, guard our
mm-hmm.
heart against sin?
Right. All diligence.
Yeah. Give all diligence so you do this. So, friends, as you look at this, we are to be very active in making sure that we are a sanctified people for God.
Mm-hmm.
And, friends, if the Holy Spirit would have wanted to sanctify people by direct operation, in other words, as we use the illustration, the man chopping down a tree uses an axe, if the Holy Spirit would have wanted to convert people without any medium, then why in the world do we have the Bible, David?
Well, there would be absolutely
There'd be no need.
No, because all he'd have to do is just send the Holy Spirit to make the converts.
That's right.
That's exactly all he would have to do. If the book of Acts would have never been written by Luke if the Holy Spirit had converted people by the direct operation
that's
on
exactly
his own part.
Right.
But he goes through a lot of detail here showing us how people are converted in the book of Acts. And all conversions, by the way, are in your New Testament are going to be found there in that book of Acts.
That's right.
And there would be no reason whatsoever. He does not convert and sanctify people by a direct impact on their heart and their lives. And this is the reason we have Acts in the New Testament. This is the reason we have the epistles, is because it is through the Word, through that medium that you're speaking of.
That's right.
It is through that Word that we are sanctified, set apart, made holy, mm-hmm. made pure, and it is through an obedience to that gospel plan of salvation.
And David, you know, we've said this throughout our program. We're not giving you our opinion. We're going to the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God has to say. Now, friends, there are a lot of people out there, and they will give you their opinion about what God does and what the Holy Spirit does. But, friends, we need to make sure, and you need to make sure, that if somebody is coming to you and they're saying, well, you know, the Holy Spirit did this or the Holy Spirit did that, you better look very closely at that person because, friends, as we've said, they are not telling you the truth. They're simply not telling you the truth. The Bible over and over again describes this sanctification process as through the Word of God and through the Word of God alone.
Right. I would like to read one more passage of Scripture here. How much time we got?
About 4 minutes.
About 4 minutes, okay. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse number 18, if you have your Bibles there, and if not, please listen very, very carefully. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who, and speaking of Christ, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Now, here is the key. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that word purified,
that's right,
is again made holy. It is sanctified. You have purified your heart. And how did we do that? Purified your souls in obeying the truth. And so we have a truth that is given to us and a truth that absolutely needs to be obeyed.
Friends, we do have another email, and so David will be getting to that in just a moment. But friends, we need to understand that if we are not sanctified, if we are not holy, then the Bible says we will not see God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. And friends, we've said it over and over again, but we want to make sure that we understand this process is through the Word of God.
Now, the email that we have here is from a listener who didn't catch all the program and wanted to ask us a question. And the question that this listener has asked in this email, I've missed some of the program, so you may have already discussed this. I hear people say, I did this or that because the Spirit told me to do it. Why and where do they get that? I think it's just a catchphrase that they use as part of the modern movement in religion. If they hear themselves say it, then it must be so. And so the question is, I hear people say, I did this or that because the Spirit told me to do it. Now, there is, and we covered this a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and on several different occasions, we have covered this. That 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10 tells us that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We also read in Jude verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all time delivered. And so the faith has been delivered. Now, if the Holy Spirit were to speak to me today, then all of this word is not revealed, Kerry.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit told me something that's not true.
That's right.
He says, I'm going to guide you apostles into all truth, every bit of it, and we have it revealed for us, everything that we need to know in order to be saved, and the Holy Spirit's not going to speak to us again today in a direct fashion, only through the medium, which is the Word of God.
Well, David, that's exactly right. And friends, I hate to say this, but we're out of time. And so I want to say how much we appreciate you listening, how much we appreciate the calls that we receive, the emails that we receive. And we want to say God bless you as you continue to study His divine will. And David, I'm going to give you the last word.
Okay. We want to always give a shout out to all of those that are in the military, and we want to thank you for your service. And God bless America.